ready? Here we go.
The Hit Breakfast Show.
All right.
Thanks to McDonald's. Grab a McCafe iced coffee made with the new McCafe blend.
Hello, hello. It is the Cliffo and Gabby podcast.
Yo.
Yo. And a big deal today. We were able to fire up the Zoom and speak to James Marsden from Boss Baby Family Business. Hold on. Producer Brooks, come in. Producer Brooks hanging around at the door like a bad smell. While we're just recording our podcast intro, but we saw you out there and you've clearly got something you need to say.
So say it to everyone.
We're a big radio
family.
We're all a big family.
So if you've got... It's like when you write notes in class, you got to share it with everyone.
That's right. Right now, you've done the equivalent of writing a note in class, Brooke. So you have to share with everyone what you want to say with us.
Traffic needs you to re-record something.
Oh, God. About a bloody ad. That'll be right. God.
That was not exciting,
Brooke. We should not have invited you in.
It was not good news.
Okay, you hold there. We'll get the bad news off the podcast. But we were saying, like, much more exciting than us having to re-record a commercial. James Marsden is on the show today. So
he's a hottie.
I mean, he's a hottie. He's a singer, dancer, actor. He is, isn't he? He's a real triple threat.
Yep.
He's in the new Boss Baby Family Business movie, aside some upcomers, Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah.
There's some good ones.
James Marsden. Yeah. What a hottie, huh? You were real fawny over James. So
you can hear the whole interview soon, but also check out his hot image on our socials.
The Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Thank you for downloading.
Mark it in your advent calendar.
Cliffo and Gabby's Set Up Saturday on Hit.
Set Up Saturday is happening this weekend, Saturday 3 till 6pm, where all collectively we're going to be setting up our Christmas trees and decorations. One of the things we're doing, though, is having a Cliffo and Gabby angel that you can print out and make and put on top of your tree. And that way you can win $2,500 to spend at Spotlight. But we thought we should get the big guy on to make sure it's okay for us to be angels at the top of the tree. So here's Santa. Welcome, Santa.
Ho, 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 hello, Cliffo and Gabby.
Wow, it is so good to have you on, Santa Claus. I'm a little bit starstruck. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Santa, welcome to the show. How have you been?
I've been very busy making lots of toys for all the good boys and girls of Queensland.
Oh, I'm so excited to be talking to Santa. You're on the satellite from the North Pole at the moment. What's the weather like at the North Pole, Santa?
It's pretty cold, pretty chilly, and there's a few polar bears walking around.
Okay. You want to stay away from those.
Painting the picture.
Santa, they can be very vicious. So, Santa, have you heard about what we're doing? Set Up Saturday. We want to set up our Christmas trees with our listeners live on the air. It's 3 to 6 this Saturday. And we have made Cliffo and Gabby tree angels to go at the top of Christmas trees. Is that okay? We didn't really
Santa
ask permission.
Thinks that is A-okay.
Oh, thankfully. Because we made them, we had everyone downloading them, then we were like, we haven't asked the boss. So as long as you're all right with it, Santa.
Well, I've had a look at the nice and naughty list, and you guys are on the nice list, so it's okay by me.
I'm surprised by that.
You haven't double-checked it yet, I'm guessing.
Oh, hang on. Oh, well, this is a bit awkward.
We have to ask you, Santa, what do you want the little boys and girls of Queensland to leave out for you this Christmas?
A very good question. You've got a pen there?
Yes.
Milk?
Yes.
Cookies or biscuits?
Mm.
Mince pies?
Mm.
Carrots for the reindeer?
Mm.
Water?
Mm.
And Santa will have a beer, but he'll have to drink it after he's finished delivering all the presents.
Of course, you can't drive a sleigh after having a couple of beers.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
After
you deliver all the presents on Christmas Eve, Santa, what do you do then?
Sleep.
Good point. Okay. I thought maybe you'd have a Christmas ham with Mrs. Claus.
No.
Oh, no, I do that after I wake up from my big sleep. I'll be ho-ho-ho exhausted.
All right, well, we want everyone to be ho-ho-ho exhausted by 6 p.m.
Yep.
on Saturday, because everyone, we're going to get into it together. I don't know how hard you're going to be decorating a tree if you're going to be exhausted, so figured I said that. But it's going to be happening on Saturday,
we'll be
Gabs.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
We'll be rocking around the Christmas tree, mate.
We will be exhausted.
There's going to be Christmas music, celebrities calling through. And you know what? Can we get you back on the satellite from the North Pole on Set Up Saturday, Santa?
Well, because I like you guys, I'm going to say Yes!
You're the best Santa.
Santa, thank you so much.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, everybody!
This is really exciting. Out today is the sequel to Boss Baby. It's Boss Baby Family Business. And you'll know this guy from X-Men, Superman, The Notebook, 27 Dresses, Dead to Me, Hairspray. Oh, my God, the list goes on. He joins us right now. James Marsden, the star of the movie. How are you going?
Doing well. What a nice intro.
Can we say the star of the movie when it's an animation? Is that still applicable?
Yes. Yes. In fact, I would be offended if you said anything else.
Okay,
good. You have to say the star. Actually, you have to say the star and the only star of the movie.
Now, see, I'm
Alec Baldwin has nothing to do with it.
I'm going to question you on that because you do star in it with Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of these. Are all up and comers. Lisa Kudrow, Jeff Goldblum. But like Gabby said, it's an animated film. So, at any point, were you guys in the same room together, or was it all just go in, voice your stuff, next person comes in, COVID rules apply?
No, we weren't. We were never in the same room together, sadly. I was kind of hoping that we would be, but no, we all just, Alec was in New York and I was in LA and everyone's kind of all over the place. And then COVID hit and it was just, we were doing some of the lines from home. And so it was, we were all just, you know, I would go in and do my work. And, and Tom McGrath, the director, is a terrific voiceover actor. He would read Alec's lines or Eva's lines or Amy or anybody. So that you can get a little rhythm to the scenes. But that was it. No, it was very, very separate. It's very kind of staccato experience, but a fun one at that. Like you get to go in and just focus on your stuff and do it 1,000 different ways and just play with it.
What a perfect project to do in COVID times, though, where you can each do it individually, so it's not really affected by having to socially distance.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's what I want the rest of my work to be. It's just voiceover work and movies opposite animated rodents like Sonic. And Hoff. And yeah, that's it. Just COVID-safe movies. Obviously, any actor wants to be there on set looking into the other actor's eyes and, you know, kind of feeding off of their energies and you kind of have to fake it, I guess, to some degree when you're doing voiceover work. You have to imagine what Alec Baldwin's going to do or what the other actors are going to do. But that's kind of the fun of it too, you know, is like you kind of just get to go in there and you can do no wrong, right? You get to try everything and you don't have to worry about what you look like, or if you're making a stupid face, or if you're, you know, if another actor's late, or if, you know, the camera's out of focus, it's just you and the microphone and let's see what you got.
And you don't have to be in shape, looking good, in makeup.
You
can smell, you can smell and look like and feel like anything you want. You just have to sound a certain way.
God, it sounds like radio. What a dream.
Yeah, right?
James, at the start of the interview, Gabby worked through like the huge shopping list that is your back catalogue. And like, as she was sort of reading that and as I look at the work you've done, it's a real mixed bag of genres. There's a little bit of animation. There's a bit of like more serious dramatic stuff. There's some comedy. There's some musicals in there. Do you personally have a favorite genre of film that you like to star in, or is just a gig to you?
Victorian era dramas are kind of my favorite.
Oh yeah, you were in Bridgerton, right?
My favorite is always what I haven't done yet.
Good answer.
No, I don't know. I think I was a little confusing to casting directors when I was starting out, and in that they typically just kind of wanted to cast me as like the jock in high school. It was the, you know, whatever. But I always liked comedy more and thought I was better at that and not taking myself so seriously. But I looked like somebody that they would want to cast as someone who takes himself seriously, if that makes sense. So I've always felt a little bit more like a character actor, kind of like, hey, you know, whatever you'll cast me in, I'll do it. That's how you start out, right?
Well, I love that, because you're not pigeonholed.
I'm only going to be doing these types of films. I want to be taken seriously as an actor. It's like, no, Hey, can you, you know, can you ride a horse and do a roundhouse karate kick while you're doing it? And like, oh, sure, I can figure it out.
Yeah, I can do I remember that. This all old, of that.
I remember this old, when I started out, we had headshots that you would show like three different photos on the headshot to show your range. It would be like you like wearing a fedora and holding a gun as like a gangster. And then another one would be like you like juggling as a clown. And the other one would be like you with your shirt off, getting out of the pool, you know? So it was like, look how much range I have. And now, of course, they did away with all of that. But no, I feel lucky, to be honest.
Well, you said that you don't take yourself too seriously. And that's something I wanted to ask you about, because your role is Tim Templeton in Boss Baby. It's a dad who hasn't left his childhood behind. Like, he's still very imaginative and very creative and very much taking that kid kind of aspect into adulthood. And I think a lot of adults lose that. You, as a dad in real life, do you have that quality still? Do you still get into imagination fights with the kids?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I have to let myself do that. My kids and I play all the time. I'm always encouraging them to, you know, set the iPads aside and let's have fun. Now, my kids are in their 40s now. So
seems that way.
Really, I got to let go of this dream at some point. But no, my son is 20. My daughter's 16 and my youngest is 8 years old. And they're, you know, I think, first of all, just being an actor makes me feel like I get to, you know, hold on to my childhood a little bit longer, right? It's just, you get to play pretend for a living. It's pretty great. And then having kids and going back through childhood through their eyes and you know, experiencing it through their journeys is, you know, kind of keeps you young as well. And I always, you know, I've always been, it's always been easy for me to dive into their worlds. Right, just to get silly and get imaginative and play, and they love it. And I think it's like to all the parents out there, the more you really commit to that and don't sort of do it halfway, like really turn your phone off, really put your computer down and immerse yourself in their worlds, you're gonna create memories for them for the rest of their life. And so I get to experience that sort of childhood feeling by, you know, being fully present with my kids.
So good. And it's a great excuse to allow yourself to have ice cream for dinner.
So, yeah, no kidding, right? I'm just a big kid.
It's research for a role, I promise. Well,
yeah, but I'm a kid at heart.
It's for the movie.
And in my gut.
The Boss Baby. Go and see it around the Boss Baby Family Business. It is in cinemas as of today. James Marsden. Forget about Alec and Jimmy and Lisa and Eva and all the other stars.
And Tobey Maguire. Tobey Maguire, who you took over from. Who cares about him?
All old news. James Marsden.
You know, I have a feeling that this isn't going to translate into print.
James Marsden, diva.
Yeah. James. Wants to only be referred to as the only star.
Great
Thanks
to have you
time,
on the show,
guys.
Man. Thank you so much. Big love from Australia.
Yeah, same. Back at you.
Alpha Bucks is back. We are playing Friday morning just after 8 a.m. and a free podcast answer coming your way now.
The answer is lemons. And I feel like we've all had a lot of lemons this year. So it's time to make some lemonade and win $1,000 on Alpha Bucks.
Oh, geez. Well done. Lemons is your free answer. So we know L is the letter for Alpha Bucks tomorrow, Friday morning on HIT.
We only let her talk about the wedding once per week.
What? Only once?
Yep. This is Gabby's weekly wedding update.
Bit of a different wedding update this time around. Normally it's a funny story or a bit of advice requested. But today I want to talk about one of the things in the lead up to a wedding that's meant to be a really fun time that can be a really horrible time. So when you're shopping for a wedding dress, right, in your head and in the movies, it's this beautiful time where you go with your girlfriends, you have champagne, you try on a bunch of gowns, and you know when it's the one.
Little stage
it's
thing.
It's called a plinth.
It's called a plinth.
Yeah, you stand on it.
That's a weird name. I know. You've got mirrors all around you.
And everyone's like, ooh, and everyone cries. And you're like, this is the one. And it's meant to be this beautiful moment when you find the perfect wedding gown. And I never spoke about the details of my bridal shopping because it was a bit of a crappy time for me. I had my mum here. It was back in June. My mum was only here for a week, so I booked into a couple of boutiques to go checking out, to check out bridal gowns. And I'm not a size 10. So therefore, it was limited as to how many gowns I could try on because the sample sizes they have in store are small sizes. So one of the dress stores that I booked in to go and check out, they said to me, oh, like, we can kind of clamp you into them if they don't do up. And right. you can still get a feel for what they will look like if we get it in your size. So at least I was expecting that when I went to that shop and I was able to be clamped in to a couple of smaller size dresses to see what they look
like. Doesn't,
like, it's not
from
not
the outset, it doesn't fill a person with confidence to be told.
It's not exciting.
Straight up.
It's
that,
not fun.
Yeah, you can come in, but we're going to have to
clamp you in.
Clamp you in.
Yeah. So it wasn't the movie moment that I was expecting, but at least I was warned. So when I was there, I knew that's what was going to happen. And she was really lovely and she clamped me into these dresses and we had a look and that was that. And then the second dress shop I went to, I wasn't warned, but I got there. And the girl looked me up and down.
Oh, Jesus.
And she went, yeah, I don't have one single dress you can try on. And I was devastated. Like, I was very close to tears. She's like, I can show you the dresses. You can have a look at them and you can feel them, but you can't try any of them. And I looked at my mum and she looked at me and we were just like, well, this is not the day we had planned, is it? So anyway, I never mentioned that. And I ended up finding my dress in this beautiful boutique. They actually contacted me and they have inclusive size ranges. And I was able to try on multiple dresses. And it was a really nice experience, even though I didn't have my mum there with me that time because it was after she travelled back home. And I did find a dress and it was gorgeous. And I've actually been working with that boutique a little bit. I hosted a fashion show for them recently. And I have, in the last 2 weeks, had two people approach me, one at the fashion show, asking me my advice when shopping for a wedding gown as a girl that's not a size 10. What do you do? And another from one of my best mates whose sister's getting married saying, oh, my God, how do we tackle this? So I wanted to kind of come on here for anyone who is not a size 10 or a size 12, who is not, you know, a smaller size when it comes to bridal gowns, and just give the advice that if you are shopping for a bridal gown, and I know how daunting that is when you are not the smaller size, call ahead to all the boutiques and just check
with them That's really
what sizes they have to try on and what you can expect when you go there to have a look. Because I can tell you from personal experience, rocking up and them saying, I've got nothing for you, is the worst experience in the lead up to your wedding you'll ever have. So if you are looking, like, that's my advice for you. Give them a call. Give them a call and make sure they do cater for you when it comes to the size range. And it sucks that I even have to give this advice because they all should cater. They all should have something every size.
Like, and you've just put it in there. You've said inclusive sizing. And I hate that terms like that even have to, like, as a bigger guy as well too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've struggled with this throughout my life. Nothing quite as important as a wedding dress or whatever.
Yeah.
But I hate that we have to use terms like
plus size or inclusive
sizing.
Size.
Because it's 2021. And
I know. The
people
average
have
Aussie
curves.
Is
people
not a 10.
No.
The average Aussie is like a 14 or 16, and they're not even catering to that. So, it was a crappy experience, and I hope that no one else has to experience it. So I just wanted to, you know, put that out there
in case anyone
is shopping
bringing that
in the next month.
To the table. That's really big of you to talk about that. I think that's really beautiful and valid advice, Gav. Mm. So appreciate you doing that. What's the vibe? Did dads have it easier in the olden days?
Back in the day.
So I guess we're talking, I mean, Gabby and I are in our 30s. And, you know, we think on the home front, our dads probably had it easier.
Definitely.
This all came about when I was in a coffee shop the other day, told this story, and an older woman gets up. She sees all these younger dads about my age with younger kids, and she proclaims how wonderful it is to see, you know, dads out with their kids.
Because she didn't see that back in her day.
When she was older too. She would have been 60s or even 70s. And it got me thinking, you know, yeah, we do a lot more on the home front, but also a lot of mums didn't work, and I'm not passing commentary on, you know, whether that was a good thing or bad thing.
It
was, it's just a fact. Like, less women worked.
One income in was sustainable.
That's right.
For some, well, a lot of families back in those days.
Yeah.
But I would argue the mum was working 24/7 because she was at home with the kids and the housework and everything else, and it never stopped while the man worked and then came home and chilled.
13 10 60.
He had off time.
We'll go to the phones. There's definitely no question mark on where Gabby sits on this one. But Becky's here now. Beck on 13 10 60. What do you reckon? Did dads have it easier in the old days?
I think they definitely did. The expectation was they go to work hard, come home, but then they're done.
Yep.
Whereas now, I think, you know, I have 18-month-old twins.
Ooh.
And my mother-in-law had a friend over one time, and my husband was feeding the kids, and she's like, "Oh, it's so good to see that such a dad interacting with the kids." And I was like, "Are you kidding me?
That's just feeding.
Just normal.
It's just feeding. It's really not that bad. He brought these kids into their life just as much as I did."
I feel like when you speak to people back of that generation, they say stuff like that. I feel a bit bad for them. I'm like, man, you had it tough.
I sort of feel like it's a why.
No,
oh, really?
I don't know, because my dad definitely had nothing to do with our extracurricular activities. He never had anything to do with cooking the meals or feeding us or putting us to bed. So I don't know if it's a lie, but I reckon the older women make those comments because they're like, "Oh man, I wish I had that." You know,
there's definitely I would have killed for that.
Yes,
you know, in my day,
totally.
13 10 60 is our phone number. Let's get a bloke's perspective. Paul, did dads have it easier in the old days?
I'm 56. So I'm only going back one generation, really.
Yeah. My dad's about 62, so you're similar in age to my old man.
Yeah, no, well, we both had to work, we used to have cloth nappies. We didn't have disposable ones, so we had to actually wash the poo and everything out of the nappies before we put them in the washing machine.
Yep.
And wife wasn't really impressed at that, so, yeah, I got that one.
Oh, so you did the cleaning of the nappies?
Oh, yeah, well... Yeah.
I reckon you're still, to be the next generation though, Paul, I think you're still on the younger side. Would your father have done any of that stuff?
Yeah, my dad helped out everything here in the farm. He worked on the farm and he come home and he helped my mother with everything.
That's a good
bloke. Maybe it's just the way everyone was brought up. We were country people, so it was sort of
everyone
helped
in.
Out. My mother had to milk cows as well, so it was all.
Everyone did a bit of everything on the farm.
I like that. That's everyone pitched in.
Life, though,
I don't
isn't it,
think
Paul?
That was the norm back then, though.
Probably not. Paul, thank you for the call, mate.
No worries, buddy. See you later.
Janae, we'll take your call next. What do you reckon? Did dads have it easier back in the day compared to dads in 2021?
God, yeah. In, like, the 70s and 80s, I reckon dads did do hard physical labour mostly.
Mm.
But they definitely used to just, go to the pub after work with their mates. Have their dinner cooked for them, house cleaned for them.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of that.
It's like what I do now. It's like how I live with no kids now. I work, I go to the pub, I go home.
I'm starting to wonder, why would it happen? Who's having kids? What are we thinking?
Cliffo and Gabby's Naughty 640.
We pictured James Marsden during the Naughty 640 today.
I was going to say, I'm already hot under the collar, so this is just going to go next level.
Oh, God, bring a wet blanket in, producer Brooke. We're going to need it. This is where I write about being a husband and a father. I write from my wife's perspective, and it's parental erotica style.
Yes.
So think E.L. James, 50 Shades of Grey, Mills and Boone, that kind of stuff.
But parent stuff.
Parent stuff. Naughty 640, volume 56. Sweat drips off him like a Hemsworth in the shallows. He's always taller, but today he towers above. The extra height makes him look like a muscular king atop his castle. He's been elevated since first thing this morning, his towering torso completing its once-a-year task. Climbing up the ladder and setting up the outdoor Christmas lights on the gutter ring. Today, he is my gutter boy, and I'm his gutter girl. The job starts with the great untangling of 2021, but he handles that task with pure patience and precision. He uses his soft and gentle hands like he's sculpting a masterpiece. Ever so gently untangling the mangled mess of festive fuses. Next came the gutter clips, fusing the lights atop the roof like a sweet lover's embrace. That night, we stand in the front yard admiring his Xmas masterpiece. The only thing burning brighter than the lights he's erected is the fire he lights within my loins. Ho, ho, ho. I'm his naughty little elf, and he is my sexy Santa. Always delivering.
No, no, yeah. No. Gutter boy. Not
he's
Santa.
My gutter boy. And she's my gutter girl, baby.
This is Hacky Gabby on Hit.
Christmas hack for you guys today, because we are doing our setup Saturday 3 till 6 p.m. this coming weekend on Saturday, where you set up your Christmas trees with us. So I wanted to bring to you a hack for setting up your Christmas tree and keeping it away from grabby hands if you have small children. Do you need this? Because I remember last year, was it even this year? You were talking about it. No, last year you had to decorate it halfway up.
Yeah.
Because grabby toddlers were pulling all the decorations off the bottom half.
Charlie's 2.5 now. Yeah. So we thought, okay, we're over that. Mm. Until I cleaned up a smashed bauble off the ground only yesterday.
Oh.
They're a little bitch to clean too, mate.
I bet. They
shatter. Go into little shards of glassy bits that can get stuck in little feet. So I just picked the big bits up. Then I got the Dyson stick vac.
You got it, yeah. Well, okay, one hack that I wasn't planning on bringing to the table then, plastic baubles is probably your best bet if you do have
toddlers.
That wasn't a hack. But the other one is you get a toddler pen. Like, it's either just the gates, like the fence.
Oh, yeah.
Or the full-on pen with the floor. Doesn't matter.
One of those, yeah.
And you don't put the toddler in it. You don't put the toddler in jail. You put the tree in jail. And then that way, you've got this pen around the tree. You can then put the Christmas presents underneath the tree. And the toddler can't get close enough to get grabby. The only problem is, if you have a toddler that's similar to Tommy, Chucky, Lil, or Phil from the Rugrats.
Yes.
They know how to get in and out of the gate.
Rugrats taught me anything. It's a little simple click of the latch and through you go.
That was Cliffo and Gabby's podcast.
Looking for your morning coffee hit without the heat? Grab a McCafe iced coffee. It's perfect for warm Queensland mornings.